to be together to celebrate the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
We're together to worship Him, and that's why we're here, is to worship God together as family. And we have been studying for several weeks now a series of lessons helping us to understand a little bit more about how heaven helps us to live our lives today. And one of the things that we said as we began this study is just the idea that says heaven someday helps me to live for Jesus today. When I keep the fact that I'm looking forward to being in heaven when I die from this life, then that should help me in a lot of different ways to live more for Jesus while I'm still alive in this life. And so we've been looking at a lot of different aspects of the ways that heaven helps us to live in this life until we get there. See? So heaven is not just about when we get there and what heaven is going to be all like when we get to heaven, although we're going to start taking a look at some of those aspects of heaven in our next study. But right now we're looking at the ways that heaven helps us to deal with life today. What's going on in my life? And how do I face the stuff that's going on in my life? And today what we're going to focus on is how heaven gives us peace. Now, let me start out by asking you this. How many of you could use a little bit more peace in your life?
Amen.
Okay, so you agree that this is something that we all need from heaven is peace. Because, you know, the reality is you don't have to look around too far to realize that the world is in a quest for peace because we are in a tremendous amount of turmoil and conflict. Throughout the world, there are wars and there's terrorism. There's just tremendous amounts of just upheaval and conflicts and problems going on all over the world. But we don't have to go too far to find out that there's even a lot of conflict even within our own communities. Right here at home, there's a lot of turmoil and strife that's going on that we have to deal with in our lives. Okay, well, we don't even have to go, you know, too out into our communities to realize that, you know, there's a lot of conflict and a lot of turmoil with a lot of families. They're struggling with issues and problems and things of that nature. So there's a lot of places, a lot of families that just don't have a lot of peace in their homes right now. And then there's a lot of people, individuals, who have a lot of conflict internally, a lot of stuff that they're struggling with inside, so they don't even have inner peace. You see? So, you know, maybe there's things going on in your life right now that is disrupting the peace that you otherwise would have, the peace that you would like to have in your life, because of stuff that you're having to deal with. Whether it's major stuff that's, you know, you're worried about that's going on in the world, or stuff in the community, stuff in your family, or just stuff personally. We all have a need and a want and a desire for peace, don't we?
Amen.
See? So what we want to do is talk about and look at, you know, how does heaven provide us with peace that we so desperately want and so desperately need in our lives? Just to remind us of how, you know, and all the beauty pageants go along and they ask the contestants all these questions, and what do you think that the world needs most? And the pat answer that they all give is world peace. Because that's what everybody wants, right? World peace. If the world could just learn to get along with one another, it'd be a better place. Well, I agree with that, but, you know, the reality is the world's not going to learn to get along with one another. Okay, that's not going to happen. We aren't going to have strife in the world. World peace, I don't think is something, I don't find it anywhere in the Bible that it says we're going to find world peace. That's not going to happen. If we find things that tell us otherwise, it's a nice thought to want to have world peace, but so if we can't have world peace, what can we have when it comes to peace in our lives? Well, let's see what heaven has to offer us in terms of peace. There are really three areas of our lives that we need peace the most, I think. Okay, and these are the three areas I want us to focus on this morning for a few minutes, looking at how does heaven provide us the peace that we really desperately need. Okay, heaven offers peace for each one of these three areas in our lives. But here's something you need to keep in mind about this. Okay, the world cannot offer peace in these things. Okay? The world likes to think that it can, but the world cannot give us the peace that we really need. Right? And that's one reason why I think so many people just struggle with, you know, being without peace in their lives, because they're looking at the wrong source for peace. So let's take a look at what does heaven provide us, and how does heaven provide us peace in these three major areas of our lives, okay? And it is not the peace the world offers, but it is the peace of heaven. The first place is we need to have peace from sin in our lives, okay? We need to have peace from sin. If you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, the story of creation, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin came into the world, and the result of sin is that it made us enemies of God. So we are separated from God because of sin, and we are God's enemies. And that's one of the reasons why God cast Adam and Eve out of His presence in the Garden of Eden. Because of sin. And to keep man from being able to remain in the garden and partake of the tree of life, thus allowing them to live forever in this world. As I think about that particular part of the story, it reminds me of how loving and how gracious and how merciful our God is. Can you imagine what it would be like to have to live in this world forever, never dying with all of the sin and all of the pain and all the disease and the sickness and all the corruption and all of the other bad things that we have to deal with in this world? God, in His love and in His mercy, provided a way for us to eventually leave this world and give back to Him, to be with Him in heaven. See, if man would have eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, then there'd be no chance for us to go to heaven and be with God, because we'd be here forever. God is good, isn't He? All the time. God is good. Okay, so we become enemies of God because of sin in our lives. Well, let's take a look at a couple of passages here. First of all, in Colossians chapter 1, in the verses just before verse 19, the Apostle Paul tells us and gives us basically a description of Jesus, okay, and all of His glory and so forth. And beginning in verse 19, here's what he has to say. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, that is, in Jesus, and through Him to, look at this, reconcile to Himself all things. Okay, now, again, we've talked about that word all a lot of times. And he says all things. How many things does that leave out?
Nothing.
None, you see? So God wanted to reconcile all things to Himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by doing what? Look at what he says, by making peace through His blood. So through the blood of Jesus, God sought to reconcile or make peace with His creation, with all of His creation, by the way, okay? Once, he says, you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of what? Sin, your evil behavior. So we found ourselves alienated and enemies of God. That's what the effect or the result of sin is. We are alienated from God, are separated from Him, and we are His enemies. As long as that sin remains, okay, we remain enemies of God. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body, okay? We're reconciled by Christ in His physical body. In other words, His dying on the cross, okay, through death, to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth, who is that involved?
Us.
Okay, that's us, okay? You who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that is that done by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were, here it is, you were separate from Christ, okay? Excluded from citizenship, okay? And you were foreigners to the covenants of the promise, and look at this, without hope and without God in the world. That's a pretty pitiful condition, isn't it?
Amen.
But again, that's the results of sin.
Amen.
So, are you starting to understand more and more why we need peace from sin? And God provided that peace to us. Because look at what he says. But now, okay, that's the way you were. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through what? Through the blood of Christ. That's why Jesus died on the cross. So that his blood could be shed to wash away our sins, thus making peace. Okay? He himself, he says, Jesus himself is our peace. Okay? Who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. That's gone. It's separated. It's torn down rather. So there is no more separation between us and God. Peace has been made for all those who accept the blood of Jesus. Okay? And he did this by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. So that old system of law is taken out of the way and it's been replaced by the blood of Jesus. And peace has come through Jesus Christ. Alright? He did that through his flesh. His purpose. I like that word purpose here because it tells us that God does not just act randomly. God doesn't just make things up as he goes along and kind of look at what's happening in the world and go, maybe I ought to do something about that. God has a purpose. He's got a purpose for his design for the world, and he's got a purpose, as we've seen in other studies, for every single one of us. And when it comes to this, God's purpose was to create in himself, Paul says, one new man out of the two, thus doing what? There it is again, making peace. God's purpose was to make peace with his creation. Okay? He wanted peace. He did not want us to remain separated from him because of our sins. Now, let me ask you this question. Think about it. Whose fault are your sins? Ooh, I didn't hear that very loud. Some of you kind of like, but I don't want to admit it. Whose fault are they? They're mine. I have to take ownership of them. It's not God's fault that we sin. It's our fault. But yet God has done everything to reconcile us to himself, to make peace from our sins. And he did this. Okay? He used Christ and in his body on the cross to do what? To reconcile both to God through the cross. By which, he says, he put to death their hostility. He came and did what? Preach peace to you who are far off and peace to those who were near. So God is all about reconciliation with his creation. His creation is us. And because we sin, we separated ourselves from him by our sins, and God sought to make peace with us, to reconcile us to him, and that was accomplished through the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, the result of Jesus' death on the cross and us accepting that blood, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God. That peace comes from heaven. We have that peace, he says, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith in his grace in which we now stand. Because God sought to make peace with his creation. So heaven gives us peace from our sins because of what we have done. Therefore, we no longer carry that burden of sin. And here's another way that I want you to think about this idea of getting peace from our sins, okay? It's basically this. Our soul is at peace with God. See? In other words, when you accept the peace that God asks, that God offers, that heaven gives to us, that peace coming through the blood of Jesus, then your soul, your core of you is at peace with God. And that's why, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago, and somebody asked me, well, are you going to go to heaven when you die? And I said, well, I hope so. Oh, no, that's not a wish. You say, I know so. Why? Because my soul, my very soul, the core of me, is at peace with God. And that only comes from heaven. The world can't give you that.
Amen.
You say, the world can't give you that peace. But heaven does. Okay? And when you have that peace, this is kind of, I think, a good picture of that. Peace is the hand of God touching your aching soul. Okay? So heaven gives us peace from our sin, an area that we desperately need peace. All right? But heaven also gives us peace from turmoil in our lives. And who doesn't need peace from the turmoil that we have to deal with in our daily lives? You say? Trouble and turmoil, they're just part of it, aren't they? All right? They're part of it. May as well just kind of, you know, wear the name tag. Here it is. It's here. It's all around us. And we are constantly facing it, aren't we? All right? But here's what heaven offers us. Okay? Look at what Jesus has to say about this. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Okay? In this world, you are going to have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. So you see what heaven is offering to us. If we attach ourselves to Jesus and don't let go, offers us peace in the midst of the trouble that the world is going to throw at us. He says, you're going to have it. It's coming. If you're not facing trouble right now, just wait. Okay? Just wait. You say, well, why would I wait for it? I'm going to try to run the other way. It'll catch you. All right? It'll catch you, but trust me, it'll catch you. You can run as fast as you want to, but trouble is going to catch you one time, sooner or later. Jesus promised we're going to have trouble in this world, but he also promised to give us peace in the midst of that trouble. And that's a key thing that I want you to keep in mind. Okay? Go to the story where Jesus is in the boat with his disciples and they're crossing the sea, and Jesus is asleep. Okay? And a storm comes up, and the disciples, you know, they're there, and they're rowing, and they're trying to, you know, they're getting concerned because the boat is filling with water, and they're concerned that they're going to die. How many of you think that kind of circumstance would represent turmoil? Okay? You think they were just a little bit worried? Yes. Okay? In fact, when they woke up Jesus, you remember what they said? Lord, don't you care if we die? Okay? That's how concerned they were, that they're about to die. And Jesus woke up, he got up, and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And he said, peace be still. And the Bible tells us that everything became as still as could be. See? Peace be still. That's a physical storm that they were in, but the message should be very clear to us. That when we face the storms of our lives, the trouble that this world can throw at us, Jesus has the authority and the power over whatever storms we face, that He can bring us peace in the midst of that. In John chapter 14, notice what Jesus says in this particular statement to His disciples. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So first of all, Jesus is offering peace. Again, in the midst of trouble. But He makes a distinction, a contrast, if you will, between the peace that He gives to us, that is the peace that heaven provides, versus the peace that the world wants to give us. What's the difference between those two? You see, heaven offers peace when we're having trouble, in the midst of the trouble. And it doesn't always take the trouble away, does it? But the peace that heaven offers is a peace that allows us, in the midst of whatever trouble, whatever storm we are facing, to be able to bear up under that storm. And so Jesus says, my peace I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Well, what about the peace that the world offers? The peace that the world offers is only if the trouble goes away. Okay? So in other words, the world can offer us peace if we get rid of the trouble in our lives. Well, is that always going to happen? No. We're always, as we said, Jesus said, we're going to have trouble in this life. But even in the midst of the trouble, we can find that peace that heaven provides to us through Jesus. But the world can't give us that. The world relies on finding peace only if we get rid of the problems. Well, what happens with problems you can't get rid of? Does that mean you'll never have peace? No. Not if you get heaven's peace. You say, we learn to handle those storms in our lives with a peace that is real peace. It is not conditioned on things going right in our lives all the time. But it's peace rather, even in the midst of the troubles and turmoil that we face within our lives. Text we've looked at several times over the last bunch of weeks here. Where Paul says to us, do not be anxious about anything, okay? But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then look at what he says. When we do that, and by the way, is this a request?
No.
Some of you kind of aren't sure. Maybe you never thought about it that way, okay? This is a command, okay? This is a command. So when we are anxious about anything in our lives, we're not obeying God. But when we give those things to God, when we bring them to Him with prayer and supplication or petition, then look at what He says. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, that doesn't make any sense to this world we live in. How we can find peace in the midst of our anxiety over whatever is going on. That makes no sense to the world. Because the world doesn't understand the peace that heaven offers us. You say? And so God tells us, He commands us, stop being anxious about the stuff in your life and bring it to me. And I will give you the peace that the world cannot understand. Okay? And then look at what else he says that it will do. Okay? Not only transcends all understanding, okay? But it will do what? It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay? And the picture there that Paul wants us to really have in our mind is that you have a guard at your heart. And a guard at your mind. And that's where spiritual warfare is being fought. And so when you're feeling anxious about something, and Satan is trying to do battle with you over whatever the storm is, or whatever the turmoil, whatever the problem is, that you have a guard that is there at your heart and a guard at your mind to protect you. You say, to keep you from falling apart over whatever the storm that you find yourself in. God provides that peace in the time of turmoil. And so what happens then is it replaces our anxiety with God's peace. So heaven provides us peace from our sins, and it provides us peace from turmoil in our lives. And there's one other area that we need to focus on, and that is peace in our relationships. Now, if you think about it this way, that the problems in our relationships are probably the source for most of the turmoil in our lives, right? You see? Because if everybody did what they were supposed to do and we got along all the time, we probably wouldn't have most of the turmoil we have, right? It's when people don't do what they're supposed to do that kind of messes us up, isn't it? It's never when we don't do what we're supposed to do, right? Did y'all catch that? You see, it's always somebody else. But it's the problems in our relationships, I think, that cause us the most anxiety. And that's because we care so much about one another. That when things aren't going right, it really causes us a lot of turmoil. Well, it's all about relationships, and heaven offers us peace. In those relationships are ways to find that peace to bring those relationships back together again. But there's some things that you and I need to do that heaven gives us the opportunity to have this peace and provides a peace for us, but there's a responsibility on our part in those relationships in order for that peace to come about. Okay? Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 and 18. He says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Now, that's what we typically want to do, right? Somebody gets us, boy, I tell you what, I'm going to pay them back. They're going to pay for this. And God, again, this is not a suggestion here, right? This is a command. So if somebody does something bad to you, don't turn around and do bad to them. That's our responsibility. That doesn't fix anything.
Amen.
All right? Think about it this way. If God had done that to you, how much peace you think you'd be finding? If God would have said, hi, you disobeyed me, so therefore forget you. He didn't do that, did he? No. So God did not repay evil for evil. He gave us love instead. So the first thing that he tells us to do is do not repay evil for evil. Okay? Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Now look at this next part here, okay? He says, if it is possible.
Amen.
If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, what does that statement really mean here? What is it really saying to us? First of all, we need to understand, it's not always possible.
That's right.
Okay? There are some people who just don't want to get along.
Amen.
And that's the reality of life. There are some people, no matter how hard you try, you're not going to be able to get along with them. So that's why he says, if it is possible. Because sometimes it's not going to be possible. But the second thing he says is, as far as it depends on you. And that's our responsibility. And in other words, what he's saying here is, you make sure that the reason you can't get along with someone is not your fault. You make sure it's not because of you. If they don't want to get along, they don't want to make peace, that's on them. You just make sure you're not the reason that you can't make peace. And isn't that really, if you think about it, how God deals with us? In our sin, we're the ones who, as we said earlier, we're the ones who sinned, not Him. We're the ones who separated ourselves from Him. And yet it was God who offered us peace. But even with God, there are a lot of people who don't want to get along with Him. You see? And the reason for that is because God gave us all a free will. And there are some people, by their free will, choose not to accept the gift of grace and peace that God offers through the blood of His Son, as we were talking about a few moments ago. And so you see, it's not even all possible with God to do that. God's not going to make everybody accept Him. But as far as it is possible with Him, you see, He's done His part. He continues to do His part. And we likewise need to do the same, so that we can find peace in those relationships where it is possible. Heaven provides the wisdom. Say, how do I make that happen? Well, heaven gives us the wisdom that we need to live in peace with other people. Look at what James has to say to us. James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. First of all, he says the wisdom, okay, and that's what we need is wisdom in order to be able to find peace with other people in relationships. That wisdom comes from where? It comes from heaven. All right? It's not worldly wisdom, it's heavenly wisdom. And that's what heaven provides to us. So the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, then peace-loving. And it's considerate, and it's submissive, and full of mercy, and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. And look at the last part that he says here. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, you may not, as you sow peace with someone, they may not accept it. Okay? But you will sow, or reap rather, a harvest of righteousness if you sow peace. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Oh, you may not be able to make up with the person you have problems with, but as far as God is concerned, you will reap a harvest of righteousness because you are seeking peace. So heaven gives us peace, as we've been saying, first of all, from sin in our lives. Heaven gives us peace from the trouble and the turmoil that we find ourselves facing on a regular basis in our lives. And heaven gives us peace in our relationships if we will do what God tells us to do with one another. But here's the warning, okay? If you don't have God in your life, you're not going to have peace. But when you know God, then you're going to know His peace, because that's the peace that heaven offers to us, heaven provides. And that's how heaven can help us in our daily lives right now to be able to find peace in these three vitally important areas or aspects of our life. Let me ask you this question. Is there any of these areas in your life right now that you need peace? That maybe there's some sin problems that are going on that are causing problems between you and God, and things certainly are not peaceful in your life. And if you have not given your life to Christ, then there is no peace there. You are still separated from God, and you are still God's enemy. But I'm here to tell you this morning that right now you can become God's friend, and you can find peace from your sins. If you're not a child of God, you can become one right now, this morning. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. Call upon Jesus as your Lord. Have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. If you're already a Christian and maybe there's some struggles going on with some sin issues, let's get rid of those. Repent of those. So that you can have that peace that heaven offers to you. Maybe there's some turmoil that's going on in your life that you're struggling with right now. Maybe some things you're anxious over. Then can we help you to turn those things over to God and pray on your behalf for God's peace that passes all understanding? Or maybe is there some kind of a struggle going on in a relationship that you have with someone that you need to find peace in? We want to help with that too. Whatever peace you might need in your life right now, we want to do whatever we can to help you find that. And that's through the blood of Jesus. We're going to stand and sing a song that's been chosen for us as an invitation. The Lord's invitation is open to you. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. And, of course, I'll be here up front to receive anyone who would like to come up and talk with me. Let's stand together and sing.